Cyber specifically, you know, this report that we're talking about today and we published this week is as a result of coming out of the pandemic. And during February and March, we surveyed over 600 companies between America and Europe to really understand all the money and investments they'd made during the pandemic to allow workers to go remotely, and investments in technology for video and collaboration and streaming, how they were now prepared post that investment for cyber readiness and cyber protection. And we got a myriad of results on that. So all that investment was done at a very high speed and implemented very quickly to support people working from home and to support the business during the pandemic. Now we're in a phase now where we have to maybe harden that investment and help them protect that investment over the longer term.
Because, and this is not to give them any credit, I mean, it's, I presume being in the cyber attacking game in and of itself is an industry, and presumably some of the great minds, which we're going to talk about, we need more of in terms of defense, they're working in attack.
Correct, correct. And you have that standard offense and a defense, and it starts off at the very basic level of offense where, you know, attackers or threat actors want to disrupt somebody's system, so they hijack their website and change it, or they stop people accessing it, right up to, you know, economic crime, where individuals or companies are theft, ultimately financial theft, customer data theft, employee data theft. So you have talent on both sides competing all the time. And, you know, the attackers only need to get successful once or twice. Large companies and enterprises and companies like us that help them, we need to be successful every day in turning them away. So it is that, normal offence, defence type of operation.
And what does the future hold, depending on the scale of the company? Yeah. You know, it's not unusual for a company to have security standing outside the door, for example, or to hire a company that provides that security. Is the future whereby companies of a certain size, or depending on their business, they either hire people directly to work at this constantly, or they engage a company that would provide that expertise for them?
You have both today. You have large enterprises who have dedicated security operation centres, 24/7, turning away attacks.
But I mean, will that be broadened, if you know what I mean?
It will. What you will end up getting is companies like us supporting smaller industries in what we call a shared services operation. So here in Letterkenny, we've around 15 customers that we support through a shared service. So the team in Letterkenny manage their security operations centre. They monitor the threats on their network. If there's remediation, as we call it, so they see a threat and something needs to be patched, we look after that for them. So again, you see that really dedicated model for the big companies, and then a more shared services model with companies like us, supporting them with education and research and reports like this to sort of guide them on the way to remediation.
Is it difficult, though, to convince companies of the need? Because, you know, I mean, obviously budgets are tight, and for the next while they might be tighter still. But if you say to them, you know, if you're running computers on Windows 7, you know, this and that could happen. It hasn't happened yet. Is it difficult to get CEOs to sort of make those connections and to realise, right, I need to allocate some funding for this?
Yeah, and part of our research actually demonstrates that, because the companies that are doing well financially, digitally and in the cyberspace tend to have really good connections with their board and their CEO, and they're educated about the threats and educated about how to deal with them. I think as you go down the landscape, you get that bigger gap between IT just as a cost versus IT as part of the solution or part of the business. So it's our job, one, to help educate that, but two, also provide services that are easily consumable. And the report talks about companies, you know, where a couple of years ago, the cloud would have been seen as a threat in terms of security. That sort of shifted now into a positive, because the cloud security providers and the cloud providers are doing so much investment that it's starting to get more secure to put your information in the cloud than it is to keep it on your own premises. And what you'll start to see now is, just like you've security in shops and security at night, you have virtual security guards in network operation centres and security operation centres looking at threats, looking at potential threats, and trying to get ahead of them all the time.
A career in cybersecurity, a lot of people might feel, or maybe you do, you need to almost be able to, you know, strip a computer down to its component parts, put it together again, or to be able to write an amazing program that enables you to batten off the advances. It's not like that, is it? Is it to tool yourself up with a skill set that allows you to interact with the technology and see what's what.
One of the most skills, you know, one of the skills that we look for in people is curiosity, and cyber people tend to be very curious in terms of hunting down threats, as we call it, or communicating with customers about what potentially is going on in their infrastructure. So, you know, curiosity, good communication skills. Obviously, you need a good foundation in technology to understand the components that are you're either defending or that are being attacked. But a company like TCS, when we're bringing people on, we look for those foundational skills, but then we train them in the specifics of what we need them to do. And a cyber service isn't a one-size-fits-all. So you'll have, you know, very entry-level service where we're responding to very basic threats, to the very sophisticated services in the digital cloud space where you're trying to stop, you know, some of these more advanced attacks, vulnerability management, people phishing, what they call water holding, trying to get all these, understand what those attack vectors are and put protections in place.
Is it working though? Because, I mean, I've had my data leaked from Plex recently. Yeah. LinkedIn in the past.
LastPass this week.
LastPass, which is really, you know, that is your vault. Store all your stuff with us and have one master password and everything's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably know my inside leg measurement, you know. I mean, are we losing the battle? Because, you know, if LastPass, for example, you start losing faith in it, and, you know, where do you go from there in terms of what do you trust?
Yeah, I think, you know, the battle is ongoing. And, you know, for even a reasonably sized company of maybe a couple of thousand users, which would be a lot of companies we support, they're turning away on average 250,000 to 300,000 attempts a day. You know, people trying to actually attack their infrastructure, draw down data, infiltrate their systems, or interact with their customers, which is, you know, takes you from disruption to economic crime. And I think what's going to have to happen is a holistic approach. User education is key. So whether it's... You're still clicking the links.
You know what I mean?
By the way, they're very sophisticated. Like, I've looked at some in the past and going, right, is this real? Is it not? And then your brain kicks in and go, right, it's not. But it does take a second or two, especially with the level of effort they're going into nowadays to make them look genuine.
It's fair to say that SMS and email fraud scams do not function without us clicking a link.
Correct. That's it. User education.
It's other than that, it is literally just dots and dashes on a page. It's only when we click a link that an SMS...
Or answer a phone call. Phone call is popular now as well. And I think that our intuition as people, and our Irish people as well, is to click and respond.
That's
and
the curiosity you see.
Yeah, so it's a double-edged sword.
The curiosity makes us vulnerable, but also makes us perfect candidates for sorting out the problem. Yes. I went straight to the money, right, when in my opening gambit about companies and maybe, you know, not embracing cybersecurity and that type of stuff. But this study actually contradicts that. It's not really about money. The conversation or the argument maybe has been one in terms of the necessity. It's really about who do you get to do it, is it?
Yeah, I mean, over half the companies we worked with in this survey in both locations had invested 50% plus in increased IT security budgets over the previous period. And they've probably seen that coming to the second phase of COVID that they needed to do that. But the challenge now is the skills and the skills matching. So getting the people into the business to do the work, retaining them then. And if companies don't have a good security posture, if they don't have good security tools and technologies, especially the new graduates and the new hires, they're like, I don't want to work here. Like, they don't have great tech, so I'm going to go across the road where they have better tech and better systems. And that's become a challenge as well. The companies that need the most help are struggling to get the people that can give them the help.
Yeah, well, if I'm my job's protecting the president, right, I want a secure site. You know, I want to check all points of snipers, right? I want to control the environment, and that makes my job easier. So that's the office. We've got remote working.
Yeah.
Okay, so from a cybersecurity perspective, what challenges does that create? Because now instead of it being a single site, or maybe two or three sites, you may have
hundreds of sites.
But all still feeding into this the main brain, so to speak.
Yeah, and that's it, because, you know,
have we cracked that nut yet?
I think we have. I think remote working after the 2 years, you know, companies have got, you know, firewalls and end user computer devices so that if somebody's going home with a laptop, they typically go home and there's a firewall, good antivirus on it, good malware protection. The insistence
That's kind of literally how the HSC cyber attack happened.
Correct. Not a good example.
I mean, that is literally what caused it all. But anyway.
So most companies would have good, you know, good end user protection. Yeah. And there are also the insistence around multi-factor authentication, not just in the that you get a text and saying, is this you, or you've just tried to log in, but they're very sophisticated methods of multi-factor authentication where we randomize it for people. So on a Monday morning, you might get a text saying, yeah, this is you, log in. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday morning, the app might notify you. Mm-hmm. So we're not relying on one technology to actually authenticate you. And key for employees and key for companies is identity. Understanding the identity of the employee, what information they actually have access to, do they need that information, do they need that access on a continual basis, or is it only temporary, and then taking away that access when it's not needed. And one of the pieces we talk about, you know, obviously cyber, the external threat is key, but there's also a program we run which is the insider threat. People who have privileged access inside the company that could be compromised for whatever reason, or decide to exfiltrate data for whatever reason.
People have been siphoning money from companies for generations. Yep. So why would
data be any different?
Why would data be any different? Right. So so there are employment opportunities here, presumably, right?
Yep.
So if someone now is, you know, starting fifth year next week or whatever it might be, and they go, right, well, maybe this could be an avenue for me, what do you need to be focused on? Providing you've got an interest, you've got curiosity, you know, how do you get into, in a couple of minutes, if you don't mind, Jared, how do you get into cybersecurity?
Yeah, well, I think ultimately computer science is the starting point, the foundational point. So if you're going into higher cert or the Leaving Cert program now, take computer science. It'll give you a great foundation in the basics of networking and computer engineering and things like that. And then look for either a specialized course in the ATU locally or McGee that'll take you maybe in your third year into cybersecurity specialism. You tend not to get cybersecurity as a specialism year one, year two, but year three, as part of your project or as part of some other program, you'll get into that specialism. Interestingly, I met some of our new hires yesterday morning, three of them, Bunkrana, two from Letterkenny, came from ATU and McGee, all, you know, came out with a master's in IT, all, you know, interested in adding cybersecurity as part of their portfolio. So it is a genuine.
You landed on your feet there.
We did.
Okay. And also, too, there are people who are at a later stage of their life tooling themselves up.
Correct.
If people want any more information, go on to the TCS website. Is that
correct? Go to the tcscareers.ie website, which is our portal for jobs in Letterkenny. We have a new app on the App Store called TCS Perspectives where all these reports are and they're free. People can download them, everything from security, cloud computing to manufacturing. We had an open day previously in the campus a couple of weeks ago for new hires. We're planning another open day towards the end of September, beginning of October.
All right, let us know. We'll flag it as well here. All right, it's an exciting field. It's where the future's at. It's